Good morning, everybody, and welcome. Good to see you all here again. If you're craving for tea or coffee, you'll have to wait to the end of the service, but it will be ready for you going through that door into the Mayo Hall. We're particularly pleased to see anybody that's not been here before, and do stray on if you can, because you did meet some others. And then at 11:30 today, there's a different type of service, very more interactive, and you're very welcome to come to that, and you'll find that some here will be returning customers. The Vicar of Kingston, Vicar of All Saints, was sacked 350 years ago. And the Vicar of All Saints, Kingston, the Reverend Jonathan Wilkes, will be here at 6 o'clock this evening quite securely. So, 6 o'clock tonight, we are remembering 350 years ago when the Richard Mayo Centre, Richard Mayo, the Vicar of All Saints, lost his job and then started our existence. So do be here at 6 o'clock tonight, please. We'll be meeting here in this church and then going together to All Saints. So it will be slightly more than an hour in total. Michael Burgess, where are you? Welcome back. Oh, right back there. Good to see you again. Phil Sawney, on Monday at 11 o'clock, the committal will be at Kingston Crematorium, and 1:30 here on Monday, his memorial service. Joan Mackay's funeral will be at Kingston Crematorium on Tuesday at 11 o'clock. The flowers in the vestibule, which is not quite finished yet, are in memory of Natasha Reed's sister. Church news is out, which presumably means it's on the net as well. Looking forward to this week, there are all the notices that hopefully seen up there, but they're certainly on the service paper. But we're focusing a bit on the kitchen. So this morning at 11:15 and 12:30, you can make sure you're fully domesticated and know how to use the equipment. And then again, this will be repeated on the next two Sundays. It seems to me if I want to wash up a cup, I've got to open up a machine that could give me a bath, but I'm sure some of you will know how to do it, and today is the day to find out. And then if you survive all that, next Saturday, the 29th, 5:30 till 7, there'll be drinks and nibbles in the Mayo Hall to celebrate the opening of the new kitchen. Listening is a bit of a job for some of us that are inclined to talk too much. But next Sunday at 3 o'clock, Ulrika will be leading a very interesting session on listening, which will be particularly suitable for the church neighbours. So next Sunday afternoon, if you can keep that ahead. And finally, there's an elders' election coming. You've all had this bit of paper. You've got today and you've got another Sunday to put it in, but can you think about that carefully, please, because these are the people that help to make things happen, and this is what is very necessary. I think that's everything. Well, I can try that as well.
There has been a church in our tradition on this site, as you know, for 350 years, and we think that is something worth celebrating. So we say together, we are Kingston United Reformed Church. We celebrate our diversity of worship and freedom of relationship with the state. With the whole Christian church, we will follow Jesus. We will serve him in our community and in our daily lives in the strength of the Holy Spirit. The Lord says, the beginning of wisdom is the most sincere desire for instruction. Therefore, says the Lord, be instructed by my words, and you will profit. We join to sing, immortal, invisible, God only wise. Let us join together to pray. Let us pray. We've come together for the bulk of our morning to try to focus on you yet we know that our wish to live a certain kind of life is clouded by a range of things, among them being our own selfishness. We come with empty hands. And we ask for your wisdom. We confess, O God, that it is easy to want to be worldly wise, to be street wise, to be seen as smart, no flies on us sort of wise. To succeed, to outsmart, to conquer. We like to compete. We like to beat others into submission. And we know that is not your way. We ask that you would help us to be part of working with others to build a better world. And we know that with you, submission is altogether different. So, Lord, you invite us to yield to your gentleness. We who like to build our little kingdoms know that your kingdom alone will reign. So thank you that your ways are not like ours. They are bigger, they are better, they are completely, radically different. And thank you for those times that sometimes when we catch a glimpse of you, and we know that sometimes that's difficult, because it's a challenge, but also it is glorious, and we are glad. Bless us, Lord Jesus. We pray in your name. Amen. Let's say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. I'm going to tell a story. Do you want to hear it? Do you want to hear my story? Emma, do you want to come and hear my fabulous story? I think it's fabulous. You might think I'm rubbish, but, you know, I think it's, I'm starting optimistically. This is a story. It's a story. Okay. There was a bit of an argument going on up in heaven. And the wind was saying that the wind was much stronger than the sun. And they were arguing backwards and forwards. The wind was saying, no, I'm the strongest. And the sun was saying, no, I'm the strongest. And so they were arguing, backwards and forwards. And eventually they said, right, I know what we're going to do. We're going to have a test. We're going to prove who's the strongest. And so they said, right. The wind looked down and saw a man walking along the road. And the wind said to the sun, I know what we'll do. Whoever can get that man to take his coat off is the strongest. It's fair. If you can get that man to take his coat off, you must be stronger than somebody who can't. So the wind blew. Right, so can I hear your blowing? Really hard, harder than that. Come on, you're pitiful. Come on. And they blew and blew, but the man, as the wind was blowing, took his coat and pulled it closer around himself and ran on. But the sun smiled smugly and slowly brought a little bit more warmth and a little bit more warmth and a little bit more warmth, and oh, it was getting hot. So what do you think the man did? Took his coat off. Exactly right. The strong wind that blew just made the man keep his coat on, but the gentle sun that shone. So who was the stronger? Sometimes things that people think of as being really strong, sometimes those things that people think of as weak, love, gentleness, tenderness, respect, holding back, actually, in the long term, can prove the stronger. And what will you build your life on? That is a cue for a song. Up you get. Come on up. The wise man built his house upon a rock, and the rain came tumbling down. With actions, I'm not doing these actions by myself. Ready? The wise man built his house upon a rock. The wise man built his house upon a rock. The wise man built his house upon a rock. And the rain came tumbling down. And the rain came down and the floods came up. The rain came down and the floods came up. The rain came down and the floods came up. And the house on the rock stood firm. The foolish man built his house upon the sand. The foolish man built his house upon the sand. The foolish man built his house upon the sand. And the rain came tumbling down. And the rain came down and the floods came up. The rain came down and the floods came up. The rain came down and the floods came up. And the house on the sand fell flat. Crash! Woohoo! Excellent. Continuing our readings through the letter of James, a gentleness born of wisdom, one theme, and the other theme is wisdom that moves into action. Alistair Borthwick will read this first passage to us.
And the first heading for this reading is The Wisdom from Above. Are there people among you who are wise and understanding? They are to prove it by their good lives, by their good deeds performed with humility and wisdom. But if in your heart you are jealous, bitter, and selfish, don't sin against the truth by boasting of your wisdom. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven. It belongs to the world. It is unspiritual and demonic. Where there is jealousy and selfishness, there is also disorder and every kind of evil. But the wisdom from above is pure, first of all. It is also peaceful, gentle and friendly. It is full of compassion and produces a harvest of good deeds. It is free from prejudice and hypocrisy. And goodness is the harvest that is produced from the seeds the peacemakers plant in peace. Where do all the fights and quarrels among you come from? They come from your desires for pleasure, which are constantly fighting within you. You want things, but you cannot have them, so you are ready to kill. You strongly desire things, but you cannot get them, so you quarrel and fight. You do not have what you want, because you do not ask God for it. And when you ask, you do not receive it, because your motives are bad. You ask for things to use for your own pleasures. So then, submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will run away from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you hypocrites.
In this chapter in Mark's Gospel, we've been through the Transfiguration. So Jesus has gone off with three of the disciples and an amazing something has happened. And then Jesus, in Mark's Gospel, for the first time, Jesus tells them about the passion that's going to happen. But the disciples aren't ready for that. Their mind is set on human things, and they are what the first century Jewish historian Josephus calls, they have a desire to be the first men. And Margaret Golding will read this passage to us.
This reading is from Mark chapter 9, starting at verse 30. Jesus speaks again about his death. Jesus and his disciples left that place and went on through Galilee. Jesus did not want anyone to know where he was because he was teaching his disciples. The Son of Man will be handed over to those who will kill him. 3 days later, however, he will rise to life. But they did not understand what his teaching meant, and they were afraid to ask him. They came to Capernaum, and after going indoors, Jesus asked his disciples, "What were you arguing about on the road?" But they would not answer him, because on the road they had been arguing among themselves about who was the greatest. Jesus sat down, called the 12 disciples, and said to them, "Whoever wants to be first must place himself last of all and be the servant of all." Then he took a child and made him stand in front of them. He put his arms around him and said to them, "Whoever welcomes in my name one of these children welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes not only me, but also the one who sent me."
If I hold the door open to you and I stand to one side and you walk through, am I weak or am I strong? I control myself. I have self-discipline. The weak are those who are ill-disciplined. I choose to put you first, but you walk through the door before I do. Anyone on the outside might think that the one who crashes through the door, pushing others to the side, is the one with strength. That turning things on their head is the way of the Lord. The passage in James makes it clear that we are to be God's wise people. And then some of the things that we are to be a part of will look to others like weakness. We will be among those who make peace. We are to be concerned with people who are in trouble. We are those who will be gentle. We are not to keep our jealousies and our selfishness. So it doesn't say you're not to have them, because we have them. We're human beings. But we're not to hold on to them, and we're not to make those the drivers for the people that we are. We are to aspire to be compassionate. And how are we to do this? The writer says, you are to keep away from the world. Well, that's a very interesting one, isn't it? How does that work? We're Christian people. We're called to serve Jesus day by day, which means you're meant to be out getting on with your job. You're meant to be in the community. So what does this thing about the world about? And isn't the world the place? Didn't Jesus come to die for the world because God loved the world so much that he sent? Isn't that? We're not saying that the world is beyond the concern of God. That's not what it's about. We are saying, though, that the thinking and the ways of the world are not to be the shapers for the thinking and the ways of God's people. The first thing that needs to be said is that, as I say that, you're not to think to yourself, ha ha, let's make the 1950s the time when right was right, good was good. If we knew where it was, that was just a peachy time, and that is the time that we all need to get back to and we all need to get in touch with, and that is the defining era and time. That's a load of claptrap. It's not that. If it's old, it's good. If it's new, it's bad. That whole thing. There are new things that can be used well for God's purposes. Just because it's new and somebody in the world has developed it and thought of it and created it does not mean that Christian people should be dismissing it. All sorts of stuff is being done now, is being done and can be used to the glory of God. Loads of stuff that's actually amoral, and we can use it. So not if it's new, it's rubbish, get rid. That's not how it is, because God loves the world, the whole bang shoot of it. Right. But that whole thing about where does your thinking come from, your wisdom come from, which will lead into your action come from, that is where we need a bit of a moment. The priority is to have God shape us. So that is that God would shape us individually, communally, and in all the stuff that we do. That God would be the God who shapes us. And that some of the things that we do, some of the ways that we behave, people who are not of the faith would look at us and think, what on earth? What is that about? Why? And we would say, well, it's about love, It's about gentleness. It's about compassion. It's about justice. It's about mercy. And those would be the sorts of words that we would use. For us, the challenge is discerning the wisdom of God. Where is God's wisdom? Where is God's wisdom? Where is God's wisdom to be found? You'll have your answer. I think there are some standard answers. We would say the Bible. That's not a radical thing, is it? You know, Christian minister of religion says the Bible is a place to find wisdom. That's not a shock to anybody, is it? I've said that. I would also want to say there's all sorts of other stuff that we can read electronically, in print, that will help us to discern God's wisdom. And the other place is we can discern God's wisdom from each other. Conversation. We can discern God's wisdom by praying, and we can discern God's wisdom through the Holy Spirit that guides us day by day. And of course, the way that you work out, is this the Holy Spirit, is it indigestion, is because you've read the Bible, you hang around with God's people, you check things out with other people, you don't just do your own wackiness. And when it comes to God's wisdom, the story of the disciples and their who is the greatest conversation is as far as the east is from the west. That is, I find it an unintelligible story. I really, really, really do not understand that story. The idea that grown men would be discussing with one another who is the greatest is unintelligible to me. You know how loads of stories in the Bible, you think, oh yeah, I've been there. You know, loads of sin going on, you think, oh yeah, I can see me doing that. But me having a conversation with other people as to who's the greatest, I can't believe it. Maybe I'm just too British to get into that way of thinking. I can't get it. So I thought to myself, I wonder whether it's actually about who will be the greatest in the sense of which groups. And it's going back to the whole thing about the idea of the Messiah being the one who will come in and chuck the Romans out and re-establish the nation of Israel in power and might, and then we will be the greatest, and, you know, what are we going to do to the Romans? And that, now, that I can understand. Unfortunately, as a understanding of Scripture, I wonder whether it's a bit flawed, because Jesus then goes on and grabs a little child, single person. Anyway, but even the idea that we would be greater than them is questionable, because God loves the world, not just some of us. And Jesus pulls a child into the middle and says, if you want to be great, you want to be a leader, this is your model. I wonder what Jesus meant. So in God's sight, what does wise mean? What does it mean to be wise? Well, if you look at James, it says, wisdom is peaceful, it is gentle, it is friendly, it is full of compassion. It is gentle, it is peaceful, it is friendly, it is full of compassion. Gentle, friendly, peaceful, full of compassion. And if you are wise, it will show in your acts, in the things that you do. It's not just about how you feel. It will show in what you do. Wisdom is not a stuff that you get a wee book. I don't know about you, but I've got a wee book. Hey, I'm a preacher, I should have a wee book. And you write, you see something, oh, you write it down, you have a book of wise thoughts. Loads of them, hods of them. Not enough. Lord Jesus would say, rubbish. What do you do? What are you going to do about it? What, wisdom, gentleness, peaceful, friendly, full of compassion, and then moves into a harvest of good deeds. So I want to ask you, as I would ask me if I was sitting there, I want to ask us, when the Lord Jesus looks at us individually, does he think we are wise? The one who knows, the follower of Jesus, is the one that moves into action, does what they can do. So the way that it goes is that some people go, well, see, there's a big separation between God's wisdom and worldly wisdom. And the world says, if you've got more money, then that's good. But God says, I want to say, let's not be sentimental here. We all need money to live. We all need modes of transport. We all need clothes. We all need to be conscious of the way that we appear and the way we project ourselves. All of that stuff. We're not going to be sentimental. I would question whether the more stuff you have, the happier you are. But there is a level at which you do need some stuff, because all you can think about is, I'm hungry, or I've got holes in my shoes. You know. But when the Lord Jesus looks at us, so greatness as a follower of Jesus will not be about pushing ourselves forward. The Lord Jesus says it will be about allowing yourself to go last. It will not be about regressing to be like a child, but a child will be our model. But the power, my friends, is in the choice that we make. So when I let you through a door, we're all going to spend the rest of the morning, aren't we, opening doors? Please, no. There's going to be some door incidents of people not letting people, not wanting to go through. Come on, please, no. Anyway, when I let you through the door, I do it as a servant of Jesus, and I do it motivated by gentleness and servanthood and all those sorts of things, but I also do it because I have a conscious choice. And that means that any one of us, who, however humble what we do, so you're in your nursing home, however humble what you do is, you can be doing great things because you are motivated by gentleness and peacemaking and loving and kindness. And it is in that moment that we can all be the greatest. And maybe on a good day, be wise. So we'll be still, and then we will pray. a fool, an infant, a loser. Really, Lord? Really? We will not be shaped by the ways of this world. We will be wise in the sight of the Lord Jesus. We will be victorious in the ways of the kingdom. We will submit to you as a child melts into a parent's arms. And in your love, we will have our worth. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. We sing, put peace into each other's hands. Let us join to pray. Wise and gentle God, God of strength and God of power, we hold our concerns before you. In this week, we pray for the police service. For the families of all those who are serving police officers, but particularly for the families of those who have lost loved ones while they were doing their job. Wise and gentle God, God of strength and God of power, we pray for serving police officers that they would know where wisdom lies. When gentleness is truth and justice, and might is foolishness. We pray for those places where disorder flourishes. Where there is battle and where there is conflict. Pray for those who are working to bring peace around the world. And we as a community hold before you, O God, Kevin Jones, serving as a chaplain in Afghanistan. We pray for those people around the world who live in camps where there is hunger and sickness. For those places where there is deprivation, where hopelessness hangs in the air. We pray for those places where gentleness is born of wisdom is evident. For hospitals and surgeries. Where places where teaching and learning flourish. For care centres, for nurseries. We lift to you, our gentle God, all who need to know your love. We lift to you, our God of justice, all who need to know your strength. And also your mercy. And we pray for ourselves. Give us the confidence, O God, to know that you hear us. Give us the resolution to be part of the answering of our prayers. In your name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen. So let's continue our worship as we make our offering. Let us pray. What can we offer to the Lord our God? What do we have that God has not first given to us? We offer our desire to serve you, Lord Jesus, as we are, with the things that we have. Bless us in your name. Amen. So at this time, we remember that the Mackay family are waiting for Joan's funeral on Tuesday, and the Sawney family are waiting for Philip's funeral tomorrow. And we remember that Georgina Forbes is waiting for the funeral of her sister, which will come not this week but next week. And Natasha Reed is waiting for the funeral of her sister, which will happen this week. And one of those wee things that happens, Georgina said, we would like to sing Love Divine, All Loves Excelling, which those of you who are coming tomorrow will sing. Different tune, but the same hymn. I just hope this is the right tune, Georgina. If it's not, sorry, Natasha, I hope it's the right tune. And if it's not, you'll wave, and Tony, because he's so skilled, will change it. Love Divine, All Loves Excelling. as we are a prayer. God of wisdom, show us the world through your eyes. Help us to be wise. God of understanding, show us the view from above and teach us to love. Amen.